Welcome to Telling the Tale. It's the podcast where we will play every single Telltale narrative adventure video game, episode by episode. I'm your host, Mitchell Farley Wolf, and I'm joined, as always, by Dustin Cornelius Jackson. Hey, Dustin.
This podcast is just a glimpse into my twisted world.
Yeah?
Yeah, you know, I'm just kind of jokering like that, you know?
Give me a second glimpse.
Remember when we played Sam and Max Season 2?
Kind of. A little bit.
That was pretty good.
It was a long time ago. Yeah, yeah. How dark of you.
I'm not afraid to go there.
Yeah, how about go here to Batman the Enemy Within, the finale episode, episode 5, Same Stitch, released March 27th, 2018, directed by Kent Muddle, or Moodle, designed by Emily Grace Buck, Rachel Noel, and Juan Vaca, and written by Megan Thornton, Ross Bealey, and Lauren R. Mee.
Here we are at the big finale.
Bunch. It's a good little collection.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for making the game.
I didn't.
Oh, I meant them.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Ross Bealey. Thank you, Emily Grace Buck. Thank you, Kent
All
Moodle.
Of you. So many good names.
Yeah. I'm very conflicted. I'll start here about this episode.
I agree.
Great stuff in this episode. Some of the like coolest feeling Batman stuff in a long time. And also, it really does just sort of end, huh?
Yeah. It with weird pacing in this episode.
And very strange pacing.
And I was telling you about this, we were messaging each other, so usually I use the achievements to kind of gauge, like, the progress I'm making in this episode. I didn't get the achievement for finishing Chapter 3 until after the big fight showdown.
Hmm. Yeah.
That felt very weird.
I have in my notes, this Joker fight is intense, and then the next note is, that was Chapter 3?!
Yeah, I was like, how much more is after this?
Yeah, and there are six chapters, technically, but they're all really crammed right in the end there.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't speak to, like, the pacing of the episode itself, because I thought it played out totally fine. I was just weirded out at the placement of the chapters.
Yeah, I guess they were just sort of on a roll, and they didn't want to cut to another chapter.
I guess.
But they could have just considered that multiple chapters. That's weird. It's a weird thing, breaking down a story into chapters if it doesn't want to be broken down into chapters.
Yeah, like, it's hard for me to hold it against the episode, because if you, like, took out that, like, if I didn't have pop-up saying, you played a chapter 5, then I wouldn't have felt weird about
it. Yeah. Yeah. For reference, audience, about how abrupt the end of this episode is, I asked Dustin, like, about 10 minutes before we started recording, hey, what was the scene that you just saw? Because he was playing it, like, up to recording, because he's a procrastinator. And he was like, well, I guess the credits, because you were unsure how close to the end of the episode you were, and then it just was over.
Yeah. So you asked me first, if I was going to be ready to go in, like, cause we were like 10 minutes away from recording our regular recording time. And you asked if I was ready. And I said, I don't know. I'm still playing the episode and I'm not sure how far I am. And then after that, you asked, what part are you at? And I said, the credits.
Yeah.
I didn't know that I was just going to be blindsided by the credits.
Yeah, it's such a weird thing, because this is the end of Telltale's time with Batman. And the end of this episode is not indicative of any, like, future season or anything. There's no there's no room to grow, I don't think. They leave it too open to the player to decide Bruce Wayne's future. That I don't think you can tie it back together.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say this. I I do think it's a good episode. I think I enjoyed this season a lot overall. But there were some parts that I did feel a little not super sure about.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. You
Okay.
ended last episode with Joker becoming a vigilante, not a villain.
Yeah.
I did
Right.
too. And that seems to have th not great for the podcast because apparently episode 5 can be basically two completely different episodes.
Wow.
Yeah, depending on whether just that one thing, most of all, whether or not Joker is a villain or a vigilante.
Yeah, well, I didn't want him to be a villain, and I don't think you did either. I'm, you know what? I would rather we both arrive on one side than have someone have him be a villain falsely.
Yeah, but okay, so here's a little bit of what I've gleaned about how the episode goes down if Joker is a villain. Have you looked into
Okay.
this at all?
I glimpsed a little bit, but I didn't really get much out of it.
So yeah, he gets together with Harley and
Okay.
he sets up like games for everyone,
Uh-huh.
including Bruce and Catwoman. And it feels like, from what I can glean about it, and I haven't just watched a full playthrough of the episode, it feels like a Saw kind of thing,
Oh.
where he's just setting up little games, just like trying to test people.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is very different.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's not the episode that we got, so I guess we're just not going to talk about it. But the end, the beginning of the episode and the end of the episode kind of tie into each other in the same sort of way.
Okay.
That said, Dustin, I do want to I want to talk about an email we received.
Ooh.
Yeah, I sent this to you and you read
Oh
this,
yeah,
right?
okay, yeah,
Yeah,
that
yeah,
one.
yeah. Andre, also known as Just Andre, from off of the internet, regular listener of the show, sent us a very long email with his thoughts on Batman: The Enemy Within. And you know it's a good one, because Andre starts out by saying, "So I never actually played the Telltale Batman games until now." Like, okay, cool.
Yeah,
We haven't either because
yeah,
of
we're in the
the
same
nature of the
boat.
show. Yeah, so it would be maybe too long to talk about every point that has been made here, even though they're all excellent points, but
Yes, great email.
yeah, one thing I want to touch on was he felt dumbfounded, he says, by our comments on John Doe's nothing but a good guy, or like he's not doing any jokery stuff yet. Yeah, and like to correct that a bit, he was definitely doing some jokery stuff. He was like he painted his whole house with a bunch of ha-ha-has and smiles. Like he was jokery for sure.
Yeah, like he was dipping his toes into the Joker pool.
Yeah, but he just wasn't like pitting people against each other needlessly or murdering people for fun. Like, that's what I think of as jokery stuff. That's the Joker's deal.
Yeah, like way over the line.
Yeah. Yeah, how did you feel about that this email in that way?
I guess I can see his point.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and Andre also goes to talk about how like this version of the Joker it's some of the bit that we talked about before as well about like how Harley Quinn kind of made the Joker
Yeah.
in this reality rather than it being the reverse. He talks a little bit about some of the sexual tension between both Harley and John, but also John and Bruce, and how that's often sort of kind of there in the background of Joker stories and Batman. But it is usually pretty reserved to the background, and sometimes it's only there as a joke, and now it's just there. Like, uh-huh. Bruce really cares about John. Yeah. So like that was a very interesting thing to read, Andre. I appreciate you reaching out.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's there's more here, but you know, I don't know how much we can go through.
Right, we got our show to do.
Yeah. And one thing he did point out was, like, when Bruce and Selina are fighting in almost kind of performative way, because they both don't really want to hurt each other, John's getting upset, and I didn't even clock that, but John's sort of like, in Andre's words, these two aren't even trying to cover up how freaky they are a little bit. Like, he's almost getting jealous of Selena's relationship with Bruce.
Yeah, I mean, I think you see that in, was it episode 2 where the three of you check out the Riddler's hideout?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can tell he does not like her.
Episode 3, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, because episode 1 is just the whole thing with the Riddler. Episode 2 is you getting into the good graces with the Pact, and then you see Catwoman comes up at like the very end of the episode. And then episode 3, you do stuff with Catwoman.
Right. It's been a while.
Yeah, well, not that long, but I understand your sentiment, because I agree with it.
Thanks, man.
In fact, speaking of Catwoman, if I had one mm-hmm. major story criticism of this episode, really did not get any kind of closure with her. And I looked to see if it was possible in any other choices. Not so much. You just see her end, like, screen at the end.
Hmm. That's too... I wouldn't mind so much if we were, like, gonna get more after, but we're not, so...
Yeah, I watched a video that was like all of the different endings Catwoman could have, and there's a lot of different ones, but they only manifest in the end screen, where it says like how you left her.
That sucks.
How did you leave Catwoman? How was
Oh, we just getting into that?
Yeah, I am kind of feeling it. Yeah.
So for me, it said, so I told her I loved her because, you know, she saved me. I feel like that's a pretty, good thing.
Yeah.
But, I did not get her out of Waller's grasp. She still has her dumb little collar.
Yeah. So she's part of the Waller makes the Suicide Squad in this episode.
Remember when we said, I said I didn't feel like that was going to happen. And then it happened.
Yeah, but it almost happens like a little bit of an afterthought. Almost.
Yeah, they never say the word suicide. She never says, I'm putting together a suicide squad.
Yeah, she just does the collar thing and sort of makes it. And it's of a bunch of people that I would normally not associate with the Suicide Squad, with the exception of Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
It's Bane, it's Catwoman, and Harley Quinn.
It's more the regular, some of the regular rogues gallery than, you know, ones like King Shark, ones that are kind of, I don't want to call them D tier villains, but you know, they're not in the main Batman rogue gallery as much.
Yeah. Like that first Suicide Squad movie had, it had Joker in it, but he like fucks off halfway through the movie.
Right.
And it's not really about him at all.
Uh-huh.
And it's more about, you feel his absence more than you feel his presence.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then, Harley Quinn sticks around. But yeah, it's like Boomerang, Mr. Boomerang, Captain Boomerang, King Shark, like, seven versions of guys whose superpower is, like, aiming a gun. It's a bunch of different good gun people.
Yeah, they, you know what? Maybe they're the best in the biz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess the Suicide Squad did happen. Full Jokerification did happen. Bruce being able to tell Catwoman he loves her did happen. Like, all of those things that it sort of seemed like it was leading up to. Alfred finally having his coming to terms moment where he decides whether or not he wants to stay did happen. All of the things that the season has been setting up happened. And then it just rushes to credits. And like it does those things. It like pays its taxes and then it goes to a close. And
yeah,
it felt cold to me. It felt unsatisfying. Especially comparing it to how the first season ended. Like, it did all those things. It cleared up the Penguin and Two-Face and Arkham stories. And then it had that thing where Bruce gets to do the, like, the press conference and just... It kind of, like, encapsulates what you care about. But then, like, someone drives into the press conference and it makes you reevaluate those things that you care about and those... like the way that you've put a cap on your story. And yeah. I thought that was very thoughtful. It was one of the better endings to a Telltale series, I think. As a way to finish the story. And this it kind of goes for it, but I don't know if it really gets there at all.
I can see where you're coming from. I kind of feel like you feel like there's not much closure to this one.
I don't
like satisfying closure.
I don't mainly because, and this is kind of a bold choice for them to have done, it makes you make a decision at the end of the episode, and then instead of showing you the impact of that decision, it just cuts to credits.
Yeah.
As like you letting you, the player, have the last word. And I kind of get the importance of that and what that's trying to do. But if you don't show the impact of these decisions, we're just kind of making decisions to make
them. I get that, but I think even as you make the choice, you feel how heavy it's going to be. Like, even if they don't show you, you can feel the importance of that choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree with you. It would be better if they did show, but I get where they're coming from as well.
Yeah. We should just talk about that choice. We're going out of order, but like, if that's the thing we're talking about, we should talk about it.
Okay.
You wrap up the whole crime. You finished the crime.
We put the Joker behind bars.
Yes. Joker's taken care of. However you want to take care of Catwoman is done. However you want to take care of Waller is done. They're out of Gotham. You go back to your home and you see Alfred getting drunk on some scotch in a delightfully casual outfit that is not casual by any other person's measure, but it has a nice like flannel fedora tweed thing. Like, good Alfred look. I made it my Discord profile picture. And
oh yeah, I see him.
Alfred gets like mean to you. Alfred is dealing with some real tough love, saying, "Hey, Bruce, this didn't just happen to you. You made John into the Joker. You created that. Mm-hmm. And I had a part in it too, and I no longer can morally commit to it. Look at my hand. I'm not even shaking anymore." He'd been shaking for the entire like season up to this point and collapsing, and he says, I don't believe in Batman anymore. I don't believe in what we're doing here. I'm going to leave." And then at that same moment, the bat signal lights up the sky, and you look out the window and you see that you need to either in that moment choose to give up Alfred or give up Batman.
Which did you do, Mitchell?
Gave up Alfred.
I also gave up Alfred.
Yeah. I feel like this was meant to be the most heart-wrenching, difficult decision. And I got to be honest, I don't think it really landed with me in the way they did it.
Okay. How come? How do you think it just could have been done better?
I think that what Alfred said in that moment was a lot of like, how much of the evil that you're seeing on the street is created by your attempts, as good-natured as they are, to stop it. And I simply don't think that much of it is. I truly don't buy the argument.
Do you think if I was not a Batman, there would not be a Bane?
Yeah, would there not be a Bane? Would Amanda Waller not have tried to be really weird about the virus that she was collecting to use on, like, innocent people, I think, is what they were trying to say.
Yeah, she didn't do that because of Batman.
It happened Bane's a long time ago.
And Bane's not... Bane, Harley, they're not doing this because a Batman exists.
Harley crushes a man's skull with her giant hammer every night.
Yeah. And she doesn't even think she's in the wrong.
She doesn't even worry about it. She's like, oh, dude, it's that Tuesday, guy had a hard skull. It's going to scratch my hammer.
What an asshole.
What a jerk. Yeah. John Doe was already in Arkham and already had been let go from Arkham without me intervening at all.
Yeah.
Like, I totally agree that he got to the point that he got because of the relationship with Bruce. But in all honesty, I think, as we know for a fact, like, it could have gone worse. He could have been a full villain instead of a vigilante. It was a bad thing that he was a vigilante because he didn't do it right.
That's where he went wrong.
That is mostly where he went wrong. He is still without sanity and without morality, and that is a bad thing for a Joker to be.
He didn't learn.
He was better than it could have been, you know, like, I'm not I just don't buy it, Alfred. I think that what you've done here in this moment, Alfred, if I can speak to you directly now, I know you listen to the show. Yeah, I think that you got so stressed out from the job of being Batman's butler, which is fair. It seems difficult. You were stressed out all the time. You care about Bruce as a person, and him hurting himself upset you at a core level greatly. So you were too upset because of the job. So you wanted out, and you couldn't rationalize that feeling. So you took it out on Bruce and told him he did something wrong, when I truly just actually don't think that he did.
Yeah, I
really don't feel that way.
I was out here doing my best.
Yeah, so that's where the choice kind of falls apart for me. Like, I really don't buy the whole argument that they're trying to set up here. So I said, Alfred, what I wanted to do was give you a long vacation, and you've decided instead to take that opportunity to retire, which I think is also great. You're clearly, I wouldn't have said it in these terms, but you're clearly not cut out for the stress of this job anymore. So yeah, right. You should go. And if you're leaving mad at me or not, like, that is a bummer, and I wish we didn't have to do that, but I wanted you to go, and like, this bat signal is up because someone's getting stabbed in an alley. And you think, like, if you go, you'll only create two stabbings in an alley. Like, no, dude, I can save someone in an alley.
Like, you're asking me to not stop this stab. This person will get stabbed without me and with or without you, Alfred.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. I think it's we've talked
ridiculous.
About it's ridiculous, Alfred. We've talked about this on the show before. I think probably during the first season of Batman, where this thing that they sometimes try to do with Batman, say, like, oh, he's addicted to stopping crime, and then, like, a crime happens in front of you, and you're like, should I have let him kill that guy? Like, what are you talking about? I'm addicted to stopping crime. If you think that the better thing to do would have been to take a step back, you are heartless. Like, that's crazy. That I should have prioritized my mental health above saving this life. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I totally agree.
Yeah, I just can't, like, the fact that this episode w or this season was also about that after the first season was, is a bit of a sour spot for me. And the fact that that's like the big end of episode choice, that's tough as well.
Yeah. I agree. It didn't really land for me either. I feel like it soured you a little more than it did me, but still, when it was happening, I wasn't really feeling that much, and then it ended. Then it just stopped.
That's a bad ending.
Yeah. Yeah,
That's
but
not a good
I
ending.
overall I liked the season a lot still. I had a good time with it. I liked the relationship with John.
Yeah, I think this season was held up by the Joker stuff. This episode especially felt like a very isolated episode. It felt kind of isolated in the same way that the first episode felt like it was just about the Riddler. And this episode felt like it was just about the Joker. And the tone felt different. The state of the city felt different as well. I have here in my notes, sometimes when I write my notes, I am like also trying to play the game at the same time, so my full cognition doesn't go into the writing process of the notes.
Right.
So I say, wow, this feels so different. Joker is full.
Joker is full. What does that mean?
Joker
Like
is
the Joker
full.
meter?
Yeah, the Joker meter has reached
It's off the charts.
100%.
You know what that reminds me? Like, that's very funny. I love that you wrote that down. I don't think I brought up before, maybe I did in the first episode, but I forget, how, unlike the first season, this doesn't have a Batman meter during the fights. And I think that's a good change because it always seemed very weird to me in the first place.
It was, it seemed like it
I'm
was
still not
tapping
sure
into
what it
this
means.
one like Batman mechanic that always was there, but somehow we've never known about it, where Batman hulks out and just goes full barbarian and goes into rage mode.
Yeah, I to this day I still don't know exactly what that meant, and I was relieved that that was no longer a factor here.
Yeah, it's much more cinematic here, very streamlined.
Yeah, in a good way.
Yeah, like the mysteries that you can solve as Batman in the original season kind of had a bit of a there was some thought to go into like solving the puzzles. No such thought here in this season. You kind of just go through it.
There were like a couple times in this season where you do like the detective stuff linking things at the crime scene, but
Yeah.
that goes away by like episode three.
And even
There's
then, the like the linking stuff in the first season, it seemed like, well, you could brute force it and just link everything with everything, but you had to kind of think through it a little bit to do it normally. In this season, it was all just one to one. I would just link them up immediately and it would be clear what to do. Yeah. I loved fighting with the Joker.
Yeah, that was good.
Against Bane,
I didn't
that was
want to
so
do it.
good.
I didn't. Oh, you mean fighting alongside? I thought you meant the fight against the
Oh, I mean
Joker.
at the very beginning of this episode, because Joker's a vigilante, we're on the same
Yeah.
side. Like we're really letting him into our experience.
Yeah, we let him ride
And
in the Batmobile.
we let him ride in the Batmobile. We take off our mask in front of the Joker.
Yeah,
That's a
that's
crazy
crazy.
Batman thing.
Yeah, that would never happen in like any other thing
Yeah.
that I
So
know of. I don't want to claim I'm Mr. Batman expert.
there's one there's one scene from I think one of the animated movies where Joker's like dying and Batman takes his mask off in front of him and Joker's like, "You were Bruce Wayne? I bought a Wayne Enterprises electric car. Where's my electric car, Bruce?"
Oh, that's from Harley Quinn.
No, that's.
Yeah, that's from the season finale of the first season of Harley Quinn.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It might be two different things I'm thinking of at the same time, because I was pretty sure it wasn't. Maybe though, maybe. Yeah, but I just don't like when they try to make the Batman story like, oh, well, Batman is the real problem here. If you took Batman out of the story, John Doe never would have Jokerized.
It's like, no, Catwoman he probably had still would have.
Yeah, he probably would have been worse because everything we've been doing has been like simmering him down a little bit.
Yeah. And his problem was with Amanda Waller. It wasn't with Batman at first.
Yeah, it really colors what Alfred's saying. And I think Alfred's supposed to be... Alfred's supposed to be station wagon guy here, right?
Right.
Like, Alfred is supposed to be the mechanism by which Telltale judges your choices and eventually says, at the end of the season, hey, are you sure you're okay with what you did? Like, you have to live with that decision. And in The Walking Dead, I thought that it was like an all-time well-orchestrated ending for that kind of thing. They've tried to do it in basically every single season since then. And in this time, it's Alfred doing it. And like, it makes sense if John Doe went full Joker. And with John Doe not doing that, and with us mostly like in every instance trying to get him to calm down a little bit, and Alfred still says this, it just doesn't ring true. It doesn't work out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really add much to what you said, but yeah, Joker still would have happened. It probably would have been worse if it wasn't for us.
Yeah, in fact, having Alfred say this makes him come off as really selfish, doesn't he? Because, like, he's saying, it doesn't matter if these people are being murdered out there, or if there's this massive crime ring that's destroying the city or ruining people's lives. Truly doesn't matter, because you're getting hurt. And that makes me stressed out.
That makes me feel bad.
Yeah, and, like, I'll give up Alfred for that. Like, I will give you up. I'll go be Batman. You just had a weird, like, selfish temper tantrum in the middle of my house, Alfred.
Well, he was drunk.
He was drunk, yeah, and, like, I think... Well, he was, like, one scotch in. I don't think he was, like, belligerently drunk. He was... He had a little liquid courage to make the points that he was already thinking about in his head.
True, true.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know exactly how Telltale wanted that drunkenness to be construed, but yeah, I got, you know, the more I think about it, the more upset about the season I get. Like, I think it really did take it a peg down for me.
I get you. I totally get that. I think the good parts still hold it up for me.
Yeah, I like the Joker stuff a lot. Everything else about it, like, just doesn't really line up. The catch and release thing with Waller at the end of this episode, like, the things we find out about Waller are wild. Like, what she's tried to do, she's tried to use this virus on unwilling test subjects in order to kill them in interesting ways, and like, just do some research with that. That's bad. That's like a bad thing.
Yeah, I agree.
And at the end of the episode, like, you have a little discussion with Waller, and you decide to either get in like a little tiff with her, or you try to bargain for Catwoman's freedom or anything else you can maybe get, and then, like, you just let her go. And the idea that Batman would let her go feels far-fetched to me. Like, why are we giving her that kind of edge just because she can, like, ruin Batman's privacy by telling the world who he is? I guess,
yeah, I think that's the big
thing.
One
that feels like a selfish move from Bruce Wayne that I did not expect from him.
Well, maybe it's the only way he can keep doing what he does.
Yeah, I mean, that for me feels like the time I should give up Batman. Of, well, if it puts Waller out of commission, then I'll sacrifice my own Batmaning in order to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
But then what happens when more supervillain come?
I don't know, but we should think of Waller as one of them, right? Like, Waller should...
Right.
She's got... Her superpower is bureaucracy, and she does not wield it in a justful way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree, but maybe the cons of giving up Batman outweigh the cons of not bringing Waller to justice.
Yeah, but because it's, like, a discussion, right? Because we're trying to figure out, would that outweigh it, or... should it not? That's kind of a perfect indication that it should have been a choice, like a Telltale Game choice to do.
Right.
And it wasn't. And you just sort of let Waller go. The Catwoman stuff did fizzle out in the end. And it just didn't really go anywhere lasting.
You should have had at least like one more scene with her.
Yeah, you should have had one more scene to like the end credits that show where the character's up to. Like, that's fine, but just show that for like 3 seconds. Show that just a little bit.
I would have even taken something like so at one point you fall through a building and you get hurt on a thing. What was it that went? It was like
some rebar and concrete.
Yeah, that's it.
It was like poking through your abdomen.
Yeah, I thought, oh, he's going to go the way of Ben.
But, Batman's man, Uncle imagine. Ben.
No, I mean Ben from Walking Dead.
Oh, okay. All right.
But yeah, so Catwoman saves you, and she sends you back to the Batcave to get patched up. Why didn't she just go with him? I guess because she had that collar.
She still had the collar, neck. Yeah.
Yeah,
Waller could have killed her at any time.
Yeah, with the collar on. I guess that makes sense. I was going to say, I would have taken a scene like just have her come to the Batcave and then you have a talk with her and she leaves there. But I guess, yeah, that wouldn't make sense if she can just head explode it. Maybe that's why we didn't get a follow-up scene with her.
Oh, because her head exploded and we just don't know about it.
Yeah, we'll find out in season 3.
Yeah, so... By the way, here's the difference between Waller having Catwoman still and you setting Catwoman free. Because earlier in the episode, you have the choice to negotiate for Catwoman's freedom. And Waller asks you to give up John Doe in order to get Catwoman. This was a very hard decision.
Yeah, I agree. I care about these two people so much. And this was before he went full Joker. I mean, full villain Joker.
Yeah, he was still like on your side, really.
Yeah.
But like maybe the idea that he needs help and could get it is true. I don't know.
Yeah,
it doesn't feel like Arkham is doing good. It doesn't feel like Arkham is doing a good job at what it's trying to do, unfortunately.
Well, I wonder.
We should get a different place.
Well, because at the end of the first season, I forget if this was a choice. I think I had Bruce say, like, they were going to, like, you know, make Arkham good, really put work into making Arkham do what it was supposed to do in the first place. But, you know, John was released. Yeah. John hasn't been there since. So who knows if maybe Arkham would do a good job now.
Yeah, but so I chose to give up John in order to try to get Selina.
You chose to give up John?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't.
Oh, okay, yeah. And as soon as you do that, Bruce is like, okay, it's a deal. And then you hear John shout, because he's just behind like a wall somewhere, like really close by. He's like, are you kidding me? You're just giving me up? Oh my god!
I get that reaction.
Yeah, and I immediately felt pretty bad, but I still need to get Selina out of there. Like, Selina shouldn't be in this group. She's not part of this group. And we have a tiff. It's a fight. Anyway, later in the episode, when Bruce wakes up in the ambulance and can talk to Waller there, what you're supposed to say is... Like, the very first time you can talk to Waller, what you're supposed to say is, you owe me. And if you don't say that, they never have another conversation about it because I guess they just forgot.
I guess so, because I did not say that.
Yeah, I didn't either. I was like, wait, I thought I negotiated for Selena. And then, like, the episode ends, and then it tells me, oh, Selena is still with Waller.
Yeah,
but same. I thought I made that choice.
Yeah, and I didn't make that choice, but I guess it didn't matter.
Yeah, all you need to do is, in the end of the episode, you have one shot, one dialogue option that's where you can say, you owe me, instead of three other things that you could say. And once you say that, you pick a person you want to talk about, and it's either Gordon, Selena, or maybe it's either like John, or maybe Harley. Or you talk about someone.
Yeah.
With her, and you have to pick, in that case, Selena. You can't talk about anyone else. And in that case, you have to say, you still have to let her go. We made a deal. And then she just lets her go. Waller says, you know what? That's fair. And I just assumed that, like, Waller, we talked about it. Was it not still on the table?
Yeah, is that, like, is that moment gone?
Yeah. You got John, so let's give me Selena. What are you talking about? So that feels rough just as a thing where, like, because navigating the actual, like, conversation tree is hard, you get a different ending than you would have otherwise.
Yeah.
Even though if I were in that state, I would be talking to her, and I would say something to the effect of, you let Selena go, right? And then she'd be like, oh, not yet.
Oh, sorry. I was hoping you wouldn't bring it up.
I've been so busy to let Selena go.
Sorry.
Yeah. I you know what? It's unfortunate, because I think the Joker story at the core of this season and this episode especially, it's so strong. And that's clearly what the whole game is built around. The whole season is built around Joker. He is the enemy within. That's the subtitle of the season. And, like, just because of all these little, like, common telltale mistakes, I call them mistakes. They might just be very, very difficult to solve design problems. Where, like, saying something in a conversation doesn't say the thing I want to say.
I had that in this episode.
I have it all the time in Batman.
I know you have it all the time, but I feel like it really finally hit me in a way where I was like, whoa, 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 hold on. Like, I feel like I've been doing a good job avoiding them up until now.
What was the one you got?
So it was in the Batcave. It's when I was talking to Alfred about John Doe and what he can do. And so the option I picked was, he won't manipulate me. And I thought that was Bruce saying, I am smart. I know not to be manipulated by him. It won't happen. What Bruce said was, he wouldn't manipulate me. I'm his best friend. He wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I think Bruce Wayne, more than any other Telltale playable character, refuses to say the exact words that I choose. And it doesn't feel fair. It doesn't feel fair when that doesn't line up. If I have a dialogue option, I want him to say that. And it's just really lame that it...
Write the dialogue option you mean.
Yeah, write the one that you mean.
If Batman is going to say, fuck you, have the option be, fuck you. Don't have it be like, hey, we can work this out.
Yeah, and if I'm supposed to, if the conversation could be about me getting Selena free from Waller, write, is Selena free, as one of the options. Or don't have it, like, I don't know. And then, like, one of the other options would be like, I'm still mad at you.
I'm mad at you.
I don't want to make any more deals.
No, thank you.
I'm done with deals, I say. In fact, keep Selena. I've decided against it.
Yeah, I don't even want her anymore.
There are dialogue options that you can go through that if in the Joker villain path, there's dialogue options you can go through with Waller at the end that she'll say, do you want to talk about anything? And you have the option of picking Selena. And then she says, what about her? And you can say, keep her out of Gotham.
What?
Or you can keep her. She means nothing to me.
What does... Those are the two choices?
No, there's also free her. But, like, those are choices that you can say.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's wild. I guess we've gone so far of, like, of course we're in a relationship with Selena in both of the ways that we've played. That I guess I've forgotten for a moment, like, oh, we don't even need to be involved right now. We could potentially hate each other still if we picked all the hate each other options.
Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah.
That really has Big B ripping off the tall man's, the crooked man's head energy.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep her as far away from Gotham as possible. And Waller goes, why? And Bruce is just like, that's where she should be. She doesn't belong here.
I'm just imagining Waller just like flabbergasted, like, okay. Sure.
Do you think Big B can rip off a guy's head in Wolf Among Us 2?
I hope so. I don't feel like I would take the chance, but boy would I be tempted.
Yeah.
It's like I didn't do this the first time. Do I dare pass it up the second?
What else do you want to talk about? Want to talk about Joker? More Joker specific?
Yeah, Joker was good in this episode. I liked the Joker's. I liked having him as a. I was hoping, you know, obviously the episode starts out. We're on the same side. I was hoping we could just, you know, mentor him, but did not go down that way.
Yeah, didn't really happen like that. We do become a mentor in this episode to Tiffany Fox, or we can become a mentor to Tiffany Fox.
Yeah, you find out some things about Tiffany in this episode.
Yeah, I'm looking Tiffany Fox up right now to see if this is an established Batman character. She looks sort of like Batgirl, right? The character Batgirl. But I can't exactly tell if that's the costume. I can't tell if that's exactly what it's trying to go for. Is she Batgirl?
No, she's not Batgirl.
Not at all, you think?
Not at all.
Okay.
Maybe she could in this continuity, but she's not normally.
Oh, I know Batgirl is, that's a title that multiple people have had, but.
Right. The one I'm most familiar with is Barbara Gordon, who is the daughter of Commissioner Gordon.
Isn't that Batwoman?
No, that's Batgirl.
Barbara Gordon. Okay, wait, really? I thought that was Batwoman.
Are you confusing Batgirl with Batwoman?
I'm asking you if you're confusing.
No, Batgirl is Barbara Gordon.
Who's Batwoman?
That one I'm not sure of. But I know it's not. I know she's not Batgirl. That okay. woman who
no
is.
you're right. Barbara Gordon is Batgirl.
Yeah.
Tiffany Fox, she appears in a comic. Batgirl, also Batgirl.
Interesting.
A different take on Batgirl.
That's cool. Yeah, I've never heard that. This game is like my first time with Tiffany Fox.
Yeah, I think it might have been the first time with Tiffany Fox, but she's since shown up in comics, I think.
Oh, okay. Oh, first appearance is in Batman 308, 1979.
Oh, not the case. Okay. That predates the Telltale video game by a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, I could see that also just being what they do if they were to get another season too, since up to this point there has been no Barbara Gordon. So I could also see him just being like, okay, well, Tiffany can be Batgirl in this one.
Yeah, I think Tiffany's Batgirl. I think that's what they're trying to do. She's all purple.
Yeah, they never say Gordon has a daughter, so I could see them doing that for this.
Yeah. Bat. Okay, I'm gonna look up Batwoman just to make sure that's not who. Now, who is Batwoman?
One of the search results I got. So to be fair, when I search Tiffany Fox Batman, all the things that come up first are the Telltale games.
Yeah.
But I got a Reddit thread, and the title is "Tiffany Fox is a fucking psychopath."
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so there was a show, Batwoman, that ran for about 3 years that was in the like Green Arrow universe, and
Right.
Batwoman, it was at first Kate Kane, who is Bruce Wayne's cousin, and
All
then
right.
also the title gets passed on to Ryan Wilder, who is also Batwoman, just someone else, just a different person. Yeah, that's the
Yeah, I
thing.
guess
That's the thing about
Batwoman has
Batman.
no.
Everyone
Yeah.
can be anyone.
Yeah, especially in something like Telltale's Batman, where they're changing up character roles all the time.
Yeah. Like, that's why I thought it could be possible that John Doe was Dick Grayson. Like, I still
Yeah.
think that thought experiment could have been something. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I do feel a little let down that this season just like goes where like just the obvious place it's supposed to go with him being the big bad of the season. You have your big showdown with John Doe slash Joker.
Yeah.
And that, I think we said early in the season, it would be really disappointing if he just had to become Joker. And I guess I don't know. It still feels, I know you can either have him be like a vigilante or a villain, but it feels like he just still becomes a villain either way. It just takes longer, I guess.
Yeah.
You're still fighting against him, and he's still killing people.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's trying to kill, like, he is mostly only trying to kill bad people until the very, very end. Like, he's got
Yeah.
Waller chained up, and he's got his therapy circle from the bar torturing her. And
I thought that was kind of a fun pick, is having the therapy people, and they're loyal to him. In that first scene, they're like really trying to help this guy out. I like that. You don't get that with henchmen.
Yeah, I think that's maybe my like under the text favorite part of this whole season, which is that like John, if he becomes the Joker, like the biggest thing about the Joker is that he can amass this following of people that are just loyal to him because he's not supposed to have money. He's not supposed to be strong. Like he's got to just have this following that just actually follows him, and the way he does that in this story is like you saw it the whole time, but you didn't realize what was happening with him actually giving therapy to other recently released people from Arkham. And we talked about it. We talked about it, and we kind of made fun of it, like, oh well, he definitely shouldn't be doing this therapy. But in retrospect, he was probably providing a really great service for these people. Of course,
Yeah.
they're loyal to
They're
him.
very grateful to him.
It's just one of those things that he's been doing this whole time that worked out for him, and even me, the player, I did not realize what was going on there until it became obvious. Like, oh, that really mattered to these people. He's helping them out in a real way.
In a different world, he probably could have just done this and been a force for good in the world.
Yeah, but no.
He decided to Joker.
Yeah. So you try to get him to stop killing Amanda Waller. Like, for once, just stop killing Amanda Waller.
Yeah, please stop. Like, I get it, but don't.
Yeah, and then Tiffany comes in and reveals that she was the actual person that killed the Riddler.
What a twist.
Yeah, that person on the bridge that you saw fighting Batman, or you saw when Batman was fighting the Riddler, who shot the Riddler with the poison dart, that was Tiffany the whole time because she was upset that he killed her dad.
Yeah.
And I don't exactly understand why this breaks John so much. I think it's mostly because he was blamed for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think like he is angry at Amanda Waller for being shitty in general, but B, for blaming him for Riddler's murder. That seemed like the big one to him. And then I think at that point he was just like so over the edge that hearing that someone else did it.
Yeah.
Maybe to him that sounds like, oh, because of them, I was blamed for this.
Yeah, yeah. And then he goes full murderous and he tries to kill Tiffany and Amanda Waller and maybe even you. And
yeah, that's where he went wrong.
Yeah. You beat him up in a control room and eventually you're both sitting there very destroyed. He was a match for you in fighting. It was,
yeah.
He's got a lot of like weird fighting talents that I really don't know where they come from. But yeah.
Well, he handled himself at the Arkham raid, right?
Yeah, but before that, I mean, like, where do they come from? Like, why is he good at fighting?
Got to leave that little bit of mystery to him.
Okay. That's season three. Definitely gonna be a season three reveal.
Can't wait.
Yeah, like his hands pinned there with a batarang. He's destroyed. It's
here's a question. Moment.
Yeah, here's an answer, buddy. Here's an answer for you.
Awesome conversation over. I'm glad we got the question and answer. No, okay. But so let's look at the bright side of things, or the optimistic side rather.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Telltale survives these layoffs they did. Let's say they managed to get Wolf Among Us 2 out there and it's a big hit.
Okay.
What would you be excited if they announced their next project is Batman season 3?
I don't.
Let's say the planets align and it's the absolute best case scenario and they announce they're doing Batman season 3. What would your reaction be?
Well, my first reaction, I think, would be that I would be conflicted because the end of this season has you pick either giving up the Batman title for good or giving up Alfred for good. So I don't really know where they could pick up Batman's story unless it's like, what if it's not Batman season 3? What if it's Catwoman?
Okay. I'd be down for that.
And like you're working with Waller on sort of restoring parts of your freedom bit by bit. Even then, though, like Catwoman could get her full freedom at the end of this episode, depending on how you play it. So I think they give you too much choice at the end of this episode to really change how things go.
Right.
It would be hard.
It would be hard to make, like, if you choose to give up Batman, how do you continue from that?
Yeah.
What if they did a season 3, but it was Joker?
Okay.
What if you played as John?
That's hard. It would be hard to write, huh? Because you've got.
I think so. You can't just have him be like a good person like we always make him be.
Yeah, because we want to. you want to give the player an option for how to control John, but like John would always just do the weirdest possible thing at any given time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That would be tough.
It would be tough, but I'd be interested. Yeah. I agree with you. It would be very hard to pick up from there and make it matter. Like, either you just continue being Batman, or, I mean, you gotta have a story. So if you chose to give up Batman, you just have to say, oh, never mind, he has to be Batman again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. You could, at this point, I think you could probably just say, no, I've chosen the give up Alfred is the canon ending, and then just write the game from there.
I guess you'd have to, but then that would be bad for the people who didn't pick that.
There's also just, like, I don't know what big Batman thing I haven't seen yet that I would want to see.
Yeah, we got a lot of the villains in this season.
Yeah, I think the biggest blank spot is Robin, but between, like, John Doe sort of acting as a vigilante this episode, and between Batman now mentoring
Tiffany
as potentially Batgirl, it seems unclear. But yeah, with either of those, it just could be a little different, could be better.
Yeah, I can't really think of what big things you could do.
Yeah, Poison
Ivy. Maybe they could.
Maybe you could do a Poison Ivy.
Oh, yeah, Poison Ivy was nowhere here.
Yeah.
Yeah, or like a Condiment King.
Yeah, or a Clock, the Great Clock.
Yeah, the Clock guy, yeah.
Yeah. Music Meister. You could get the Music Meister in there for sure.
Yeah, that'd be good.
You could do one more episode as the Music Meister.
A bonus episode with the Music Meister, and it's like a big musical.
Yeah, yeah. Just
imagine
just
if all your choices... Imagine if, like, all your choices, they had to write, like, rhymes for the song.
What if instead of choosing words for the choices, you have to choose musical keys? Like, you have to choose for him to sing in C minor or D flat major.
That would be insanity. I would be like, how do you do this?
How do I choose what to do?
I don't know. I don't know the pros and the cons of each one.
that would be
something
great.
I'll say, yeah,
for one episode.
I think one last thing I'll say about this season, or this episode, I mean, not the whole season, but a lot of just little funny moments for a big season finale. Like, there was just some, like, good lines here and there, just, like, funny scenes, like John being excited to ride in the Batmobile. I got some chuckles here when it... I feel like normally the last episode of a season is supposed to be, no, it's serious story time.
Yeah, I wrote down a classic one-liner that Gordon had, where Harley's supposed to... like call in an airstrike on the area with her walkie-talkie, and then Gordon just shoots it out of her hand, and Harley says, you cops can't just shoot people like that, and Gordon says, I'm off duty. Coolest Gordon's ever been.
Yeah, good episode for Gordon, I think.
Good showing for Gordon. Yeah. I like that Gordon has an opportunity at the end to just say, like, hey man, I got lost in the sauce in the middle there for a little bit. I just got a little sorry, bud.
I like this Gordon.
I do like that. Yeah. Gordon had a great resolution.
Yeah. See, it's not all bad.
No. I mean, I don't think it's all bad at all. What they were going for with this ending, I just fundamentally don't like. I don't think it's a
I
good
get you
ending.
I didn't even think about it that way while I was playing it, or at least it didn't like hit me as hard, but just talking about it with you, I'm like, yeah.
Well, it took me a little while after I rolled credits for me to like digest.
Well, wait
that
a minute.
Ending. Yeah, wait a minute. That wasn't cool at all.
I'm just imagining Bruce like going up to Alfred, like he goes to the airport and he's like, you know what, Alfred? Actually, you're wrong.
I thought about
makes
this.
A big scene at the airport.
Did Joker get visited by Bruce at the end of the episode in prison?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did for me too.
I thought that was a nice little little thing to end the episode. I like the idea that, look, we had that whole thing, but I'm going to try to get John the help he needs.
Depending on how it goes, John can also just be stewing in Arkham and, like, pacing back and forth, planning on how to kill Batman.
Okay. Oh, okay. That makes sense. Like,
yeah.
If you get the villain... Well, there's a point in the episode, too, like, after their big fight, he asks if they were ever really friends. I wonder if you get that if you say, no, not really.
Maybe. Yeah, I bet that could be the thing.
Yeah, but I like the idea that, look, we had this whole big classic Batman-Joker fight, but, like, their relationship is real, and Bruce is going to help this guy. And he's excited to see him. He sees Bruce, and he's happy to see his friend, even after that big battle they had.
Yeah, he lights up. It's a great ending for John. I mean, yeah. Not really. He's locked in prison probably for the rest of his life, but, like...
Maybe it'll be good for him. Like, he was helping people with the therapy sessions. Maybe, like, if he's here in Arkham, maybe he can just, like, turn his life around helping out other people here in Arkham.
I don't think he ever gets let out. I don't think he ever, ever gets let out for the rest of his life.
No, I get that. Like, I don't think he's getting out, but, like, he can do some good while he's in there, is what I'm saying.
Sure, yeah. Yeah. Maybe there's another Harley Quinn nurse there who doesn't go full Harley mode.
Yeah, this one's better, don't worry. She's like the doctor part, not so much the like scary clown part. She hates clowns, honestly.
Yeah, for this Harley Quinn, it's more about like mimes.
Yeah, and they're not dangerous at all. They're like harmless.
Yeah, they don't even make sound.
Yeah. Ooh, has there ever been like a Batman villain that's a mime and like they pretend they're doing things but it's like real? Like they have like a gun and it's like, oh, what the fuck? He's just pretending to have a gun but then like actually shoots people?
Oh, there's gotta be. There's
that,
oh.
Doesn't that seem like too good an idea? Maybe I should do Batman.
It feels almost familiar of an idea. There was,
yeah, like
there was
it
a
seems
Doctor
like
Who
too
villain.
Too obvious to have not been done.
Yeah, there's a Doctor Who villain played by Neil Patrick Harris, called the Toy Maker, who does stuff kind of like that, where he'll mime like finger guns and then shoot someone in the face.
Okay, yeah. So it just seems like too obvious an idea to not be done in like anything.
Yeah, was there ever like a Marvel character? I'm trying to think through. There's got to have been someone like that. Sometimes I bet the Joker does work like that, but not in this universe.
Imagine like a new supervillain comes up and he's the mime, the Mr. Mime guy.
It's Mr. Mime.
Yeah, from Pokemon. No, but so Mr. Mime comes in. And he starts shooting people with pretend guns, he drops a safe by cutting a rope that's not really there and actually crushes someone. And then the Joker's like, this sucks. There's a mime here.
I hate this.
He feels really threatened. He's like, this is clown territory. Get out of here.
This is joke erasure. I hate this.
Yeah,
we
you're
feel
mime
similar, but we're so different if you actually think about what we do.
Yeah, everyone keeps saying, like, oh, this mime guy, he's kind of like the Joker with, like, the face paint. And Joker's like, shut up. Do not say that.
We have never been further different.
You're standing right next to each other with, like, the white face paint. Oh, that would be great.
Let's talk about the segments.
Okay, let's do segments.
Okay.
Before segments,
yeah.
Should we do, like, how we left everybody?
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay.
Yeah, I wrote all mine down.
Yeah.
It wasn't so straightforward since it was like going off of the whole season, and it doesn't just tell you like you left them feeling this. But it does say like where they're at.
So with Iman Avesta, I asked her to work for me at Wayne Enterprise.
Ooh, nice. Did she?
I asked her to. That's how far it got.
I guess I should have asked her that too.
What happens with you?
So for Avesta, I watched her give up the badge. So instead of offering to
Whoa.
work for me, I just told her, "You should leave. If you don't believe in the agency, get out of there, and I guess I won't help you."
That sucks.
Yeah, well, I just, I didn't tell her, like, do not come to Wayne Enterprises, but yeah, I
Harley
should have
Quinn.
asked her to join. Harley Quinn, I dismissed her importance to the agency.
I did that too. She felt really bad about that.
Yeah, get to her psychologically. Be like, you're just a pawn, you little clown.
Yeah, because she comes at you with, like, I'm part of the agency now. I'm gonna hunt you down if it's the last thing I do. And then you're like, dude, you're part of the agency now. That you're, so, oh my God, you're so unimportant to me in every way now.
Yeah, sorry, your head
Yeah.
could explode.
Your head could explode if you don't stay away from me.
Yeah,
So,
sorry.
oops.
Guess you fucked up.
Waller. I remained in a stalemate with Waller.
Same.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
because we couldn't navigate the
What did you
exact
say to her?
conversation to get rid of Selena. I just told her that, like, we're not chill and I still don't like what she did. And then
Yeah, I
it.
said, get out of Gotham.
Oh.
Yeah, she tried to be like, you're just like them, Batman. You are awful. You do bad things. And I just told her, get out. Who wants you
I
here?
literally don't. You and Alfred are the same. I don't even. What did I do?
Yeah, you two are like in a bad. You're seeing this from a bad angle, I think.
Gordon is apologetic. I accepted Gordon's apology.
Yeah, same. Of course, I'm gonna accept Gordon's apology. He and I are like this, and you can't see what I'm doing, but I have my fingers crossed together or hooked.
With Catwoman, we talked about this. I think we both said we were in love with her, but she's stuck with the agency.
Yeah, it took me a while to get what they meant because they worded it said you loved her but didn't gain Catwoman's release. And
Yeah.
I was like, it just took me a second to be like, oh, from Amanda Waller. I
From the
was like,
collar.
release?
Yeah.
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 And Tiffany took her under my wing.
Same.
It sounds like we lined up on most of these except for Avesta, which is
Yeah.
interesting since I would say she's probably the least important.
Alfred, I let him
Let him
go.
go.
And Joker's still
Yeah.
friends.
Yep, we all down the board except for Avesta.
Yeah.
I'm glad we were still friends. Joker did some bad things. That was a
Other than
no-no,
getting
but you know.
Catwoman out, I think this is probably, like, down the list, the good ending possible
Yeah.
here.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Now let's do our segments.
Okay. My weekly guy was Waller. What a surprise.
Yeah, what a surprise. Especially since she sucked so much in this episode.
Yeah, but we were talking this whole season of, like, Waller's not doing any of the bad stuff yet. And now Waller is, and you can see, like, how corrupt she is, like, how deep into the mess that she is. And it kind of takes you by surprise because of how long she's been mostly just doing good stuff. And for that reason, I felt like she was a really good villain to this episode. Especially
I get
when
that.
Joker is not our villain this episode. Joker's just a thing we're dealing with.
Yeah.
Waller is, like, she's turned into a good villain, where I was not impressed with her going through the season until now.
Okay. That's good reasoning. You reminded me of another thing I laughed at in this episode. So when Joker is holding Waller captive, you have the choice to say, you're not innocent here either, Waller. And then Joker says, "You're totally right. She sucks."
Yeah.
was like, "Yeah, he gets
Yeah. Man,
it." That's
John
funny.
Doe's a great character. I should have picked John Doe, but I just thought the
I
increase in Waller's stock this episode was very high.
yeah. Well, I feel like if I were to just give it to John Doe, I feel like it would be like every episode would be Weekly Guy John Doe almost. So
I don't know.
I'll
There's
give
some
him.
episodes where it was, like, actually not him.
Yeah, I'll say this. I'm gonna give John Doe my seasonally guy.
Seasonally guy. Okay, yeah. I think yeah. I would definitely give John Doe my seasonally guy as well.
Yeah, breakout star of the season. This episode, I really liked Gordon. I liked working with Gordon in this episode. I liked that he was off the books. He's unemployed, but he's still helping you out here. That was fun. And I kind of liked his like casual getup he was wearing. Just like a regular shirt. He doesn't have his big jacket. That was fun.
Yeah, it felt like he had to go to like out of your way casual men's clothing stores in order to find the perfect off-duty shirt.
Yeah, I love that. That would have been a great scene to see.
Yeah, it's like not quite a full Hawaiian shirt, but it's a little bit. It's a little.
He's
bit
getting there.
That walk, yeah.
It's like a casual polo shirt, I think, is what he was wearing.
My choice cut was whether or not to hand over John for Catwoman.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I had paused the game, and I really like I looked away
you had
from
one
the
of
computer
those.
For a while. And just thought it through. It was hard. That's a hard choice.
Yeah. I like when we get choices like that where I really have to like think about it and weigh the outcomes. Mine was a very easy choice to make, but it still resonated very strongly with me. It's whether or not to tell John you were friends.
Yeah, that's a very easy choice, but I'm so glad that they gave you the choice rather than John just saying and not allowing you to combat it. Like, I guess we were never friends, huh, Bats? And,
I like, guess it truly is Batman versus the Joker.
I guess our relationship really was the biggest joke.
I guess our relationship really was The Walking Dead Season 2.
You're making me feel like a real Dick Grayson.
And Bruce is just like
I don't know who that is. Do we have a conversation about that before? I don't remember.
That's like irrelevant to me in this story, unfortunately. But I thought it was a good choice.
Was that yours too?
Well, choice cut. Yeah, telling John. I mean,
right. Yeah.
Yeah, mine was telling John we were friends. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Cool. Golden moment. I wanted to say it was Bruce telling John that they were friends the whole time, but there's one better moment that's very, very small in this episode. I wonder if you resonated with this at all.
Oh, shoot. Do tell.
Okay. So Joker's now got a Joker mobile. He outfitted a car that he stole with all kinds of decals and like bulletproofing and a bunch of silly little things. And in the back of the car, you realize it's the same car from before, because in the back of the car, you've got the cup from the icy or the slushy that Harley Quinn drank from. And Gordon is with you at that moment and says, oh, we should do a DNA test on the cup. And immediately Bruce says, actually, I don't think you should.
Yeah, you know, probably not important. You
probably
know?
A really unimportant DNA test. And I didn't drink from the slushy in my choice, but like it's probably not accounting for choices here. And I think that's just supposed to be Batman like being like, my DNA is on the cup.
Yeah, you gulp.
That is such a small little throwback to episode 2. I liked that. I thought that was funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I got that too.
That's my golden moment.
It did resonate with me. That's fun. That's a good one.
Yeah. How about yours?
My golden moment was, so I wanted to give it to the big Joker fight. That is a good fight. Very good. I thought it was a good climax to the episode, despite being chapter 3. But Michael, the moment is, it's also a small scene, but it's just how excited John gets to ride in the Batmobile.
Yeah, that's great.
It's like, he loves you. He is so excited to do this. And like the whole time, it's at the beginning of the episode, you know, it's going to go south, but this little moment is just very fun. And another one in that same scene is how excited he is to meet Alfred. And he's just like chatting with, so your arm gets injured from the fight with Bane. And so Alfred comes with the Batmobile to help patch you up. And the whole time Joker's like, oh my God, it's so cool to meet you. I could listen to that accent of yours all day. And then he starts trying to do an English accent. And he's like, he's talking to Alfred, and he's like, how was that? Was that good? And Alfred's like, no, not really.
I like how just not scared of the Joker Alfred is.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, he really doesn't have much reason to be. Like, he knows he's unwell. He knows he's, like, wanted and doing bad stuff. But he hasn't gone full, like, killing everyone he comes across yet. He's just like, oh, yeah, this is that guy that Bruce has been talking about. Hello, you're weird.
Yeah. By the way,
but it was cool. I liked it.
We go. One thing we never mentioned was that we go to Ace Chemicals in this episode.
Oh yeah.
And there's a lot of like real close calls with Joker like almost falling into the chemical vat.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been the thing that makes the Joker. But like he doesn't. He just doesn't fall in there.
Well, I think there's a point where you have to save him with your grappling gun. I wonder if you can just let him fall in or if something else will happen. Maybe he uses his. That's something I like, too, is that he has just, like, copied all of your gadgets but Jokerified them.
Yeah.
Like, he has Joker rings that have, like, the big smile across them.
He's got a grapple that, like, is just like a chatty...
The chomping teeth?
The dentures. Yeah, the chomping dentures thing.
That's fun. I liked all of that, like, a lot.
Yeah, a lot of good Jokerification stuff in this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. So I think at the end of it, it sounds like you really preferred season one over two.
I think season one tied itself up better than season two. I felt like the things they were trying to say with season one actually got said, as opposed to season two. In both cases, I think that whole thing of like, now, do you really need to fight crime, or is this something that you could give up? Like, that is, it's just a dumb thing. I think it doesn't make sense. And, like, even with them having the power to set up the universe in such a way that it would make sense, they don't do it. And I think that really falls through. I think
something they don't bring up is like nobody ever, like, the motivation for nobody in this episode except for maybe John, but you know, maybe that's fixed by the end, who knows. No one ever says I am going to become a crazy supervillain because of Batman, because Batman is out there.
Yeah, and like what's interesting about that is like Two-Face is around still, and they keep alluding to that, like he's in Arkham, and Penguin is around still. Those people have all the ammunition in the world to send the message that, like, hey, I'm the way that I am because of you, Bruce.
Yeah.
Those people actually do, and they don't. They keep them on ice. They don't use those people. And with
I get it, on ice, like the Penguin,
and or also Mr. Freeze.
No Freeze in this episode, which is interesting since in the last episode, you basically choose whether he lives or dies. So if he dies, I get not having him, but I saved him. I saved Mr. Freeze, and no payoff.
I guess it was fine. Really choosing between was, do you let him die or do you freeze him solid in a block of ice? Which is...
Oh, true, true.
They're both pretty... Like, he's not coming back from it, actually.
Well, you don't know. Maybe. Maybe he could be an unfreeze.
Yeah. Mr. Warmed.
They go together so well. They're like fire and ice.
Yeah. He needs to find his friend Heatmeister from that one Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer cartoon.
Heatmeister?
Not cartoon, like a... what was it? Stop-motion deal? You know that one?
Mitchell, I know what you're talking about, but I love how you got all of it wrong.
Heatmeister.
Heatmiser.
Heat Miser?
Yeah, his name's Heat Miser.
It's not with a T?
No.
What?
But also, it's not Rudolph, but it is... I get what you mean.
No, Rudolph's in it.
It's... No, no. You might be thinking of a different one, because...
is it not... I might be.
No, the one I'm thinking of does not have Rudolph in it, but it's made by those same guys, Rankin Bass. But they might have done more later.
It's the year without a Santa Claus, and there's no...
Yeah, that one does not have Rudolph in it.
You're telling me there's no Rudolph in there at all?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm glad we landed on what's up there.
Yeah, that's what the episode came down to.
Was that one a sequel to the one where they did, like, the origin of Santa Claus?
I think that is the one where they do the origin of Santa Claus.
No, that's a different...
Santa Claus is Coming to Town?
Oh, I think that is Santa Claus is Coming to Town. But that's not the one with Heat Miser and Snow Meister.
Yes, it is.
No, that's the year without a Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, okay.
In the year without a Santa Claus, Santa Claus is already established. There's no Kringle being raised by woodland elves or anything.
Yeah, I forgot they were different.
Yeah, it's hard to do. It's hard to keep it all together. They did like 40 Santa Claus movies, so I think it makes sense.
But Mitchell, you've humbled me. I started this conversation being, actually, I'm right to know all about this, and you're wrong. But you just came in here and put me in my place, and I thank you for it.
They did a Rudolph New Year one, which is what I thought that was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one's a sequel.
Yeah, that's the sequel to Rudolph, where he learns the joys of New Year's.
Now it is a different year than it was.
Yeah, now New Year's Eve is my favorite holiday personally, but that's just because it's kind of chilled out and we can kind of do it however we want.
Yeah, it's just like a fun party.
Yeah, but I think the thing it's celebrating is maybe the biggest. It's a whole year.
Yeah. But it's not the... It doesn't make sense to do for a movie, I think.
To
like
answer
that,
your question,
anyway.
Dustin, I think season one is probably a little better. But, like, season one doesn't have anything like John in it either.
Except for John, but
For John. How John is in two of the episodes of it.
But I get what you mean. I think my opinion of it is kind of, it's similar to how I view the Frozen movies, where I think I prefer two just like as a taste thing, like two has more that appeals to me, but I think it's a little sloppier. It's not as tight a package, even though I like what it does more.
Just like Frozen.
Yeah, just like Frozen. Although with Frozen, I don't like the first Frozen like at all. I still like season one of Batman. I just think it's maybe, I said it before, I think it's a little too dry for me, which, you know, helps make it unique in terms of Batman things that go all out a lot of the time. But yeah, here, you know, we got like a lot of the villains. We got this cool story with John. So I just think it personally hit what I want to see out of a Batman more.
Yeah, I think you gotta play season one with Shadows. You gotta play Enemy Within without Shadows, and then they'll feel like such different vibes. And
right,
both of them trying to focus in on what they're kind of all about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know
but
what?
Yeah. Good job, us.
Yeah, we did it. We talked about a Batman.
Yeah, I enjoyed my time with Telltale's Batman overall.
I think I did too. I liked it more than Guardians of the Galaxy.
I
liked
think
it more
I agree.
Than Game of Thrones. I liked it more than...
Here's a question.
Yeah.
Batman Season 2 or Minecraft Season 2?
I was thinking of the exact same comparison. It's tough. It's weird that it's tough too.
Because I feel like for Minecraft as a whole, like Telltale's Minecraft story mode, season two really surprised us.
Yeah.
But we kind of had low expectations. With Batman, it's like, I feel like our expectations were a little higher and it didn't quite meet that. But which one, if you're just comparing these two, which one is better? And that's tough because Minecraft, I ended up really enjoying by the end of it. And I'm going to miss those characters, but it didn't have anything like John Doe's whole story. That was really good.
So I'll say that they're probably pretty close, but yeah, like the thing with Minecraft Season 2 is that it really invited us into this mythos. When I think about the Minecraft story mode world, I think of all these lore things now. And Batman the Enemy Within was so narrowly focused on this one character of the Joker that I... like, it's cool because there's nothing like the Joker in Minecraft either, but there's nothing like the feeling of the world that we got in Minecraft in Batman. I think just where I'm at, I kind of prefer having that world feeling in Minecraft. And also, I need to give Minecraft the tip that it really nailed what it was trying to do with its ending.
Yeah.
I was like incredulous of like, oh, can it get there? And then it did. Whereas with Batman, I was like, oh, it's all set to get there. And then it didn't. I'll give it to Minecraft. I guess I'll say Minecraft.
I think I'm there with you. I think I got to do Minecraft. And I liked this season a lot of Batman. But I think what it comes down to is with Minecraft really endeared me to that like group of characters. And Batman endeared me to some of them. But, you know, I'm not that brokenhearted. We're not going to get more of it. Oh, sorry. Had a little something in my throat.
Ooh.
But with Minecraft, I am disappointed that I won't get to see these characters again by the end. I think I just gotta hand it to them.
By the way, one more reference to just Andre. Thank you for writing in. Thank you for putting all that thought into that message. One thing you did say, Andre, was that I had incorrectly said acid about the vat that Joker falls into and becomes the Joker when it is chemicals. I'll say that, you know, technically when referring to the thing, that's right. But I'll also say, you don't think there's any acid among those chemicals? Chemical is such a vague term.
Yeah, acid can be a chemical.
Acids are chemicals. Water is a chemical. Oxygen in the air is a like anything's a chemical. I feel like I was more specific, although potentially incorrect because of that specificity. Anyway, I'll say I won that fight. I'll decide that I've won. So I guess you can write an even longer email next time, Andre.
Ooh.
Nah, just kidding. I really appreciate you listening to the show. You've been a long time supporter. Thank you for your participation. And until next time, we've got three more games left in the Telltale pantheon before I guess Wolf 2 or nothing.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. We've got three more games. Next week won't have an episode. Sorry.
That's okay.
We're giving Dustin, and Dustin alone, actually, 2 weeks to play Sam and Max. This time it's virtual. I'm not going to play this one, unfortunately, because I cannot play this one. I had a virtual reality headset that I was planning on using, and I even tried to use it. Couldn't work because it was such an old Oculus Rift. It was like the very first run of Oculus Rifts that it did not yet come with motion tracking controllers. It came with an Xbox controller because like they didn't have the motion tracking on the controllers yet. In order to buy those kinds of controllers that aren't just like good VR controllers, but work specifically with the first Oculus Rift, it would have been way too expensive to do, wouldn't have come in the mail in time. So altogether, because this is really not a Telltale game, I am taking the L on this one, as the kids like to say sometimes. And I'm going to invite Dustin to tell me all about it in an episode 2 weeks from now.
That'll be fun.
Sam and Max this time, it's virtual is next. After that, we've got Hector Badge of Carnage, which is mostly a Telltale game. And then finally, the final season of The Walking Dead, which is definitely a Telltale game. And that will be the next, I guess, 8 episodes of the podcast and the last 8 episodes of the podcast until if The Wolf Among Us 2 comes out.
Man, think of it this way. If we, like, we would never do it this way, but if we saved Minecraft Story Mode Season 1 for last, which would have been a bad idea, but that would have been it. That's just 8 episodes of that would have been the end of the show.
Minecraft, oh yeah, okay, that's interesting. Minecraft Story Mode Season 1 is 8 episodes, that's how many episodes are left. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Wow. Wow. Think about that.
Wow. I don't know what that was. Yeah, but until next time, we'll see you when Dustin tells me about Sam and Max this time it's virtual, and have a great summer.
Have a great summer.